chapter 3. Let's read verse 20 through 24. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We're coming into chapter 4 in our movement through the book of Genesis. But before we get into the fourth chapter and move along, I want us to consider from this third chapter the subject of grace. The subject of grace. In verse number 21, it tells us that God clothed them. And in verse number 23, it tells us that God sent him from the garden. God covered man, and then God cast him out of the garden. To put it in terms we might better relate to, I think I can do this without doing the scripture any harm. We read in this passage of scripture that after the Lord saved Adam, he cast Adam out to live the rest of his life in the world. He covered Adam and Eve, covered their sins, saved their souls, I believe, by the shedding of blood. Then he cast them out into the world to live the rest of their lives. And that would have been well over 900 years. Adam lived to be 930. So the Lord saved them by the covering that he gave them and the shed blood that was involved. And he sent them to persevere. He sent them to live those many, many years outside of the garden and under the circumstances of the curse that we've seen elaborated on in this passage of Scripture. I want us to think about grace. You find grace all through this third chapter. I personally find grace in the creation. I personally find grace in God, who needed nothing, who lacked nothing, deciding to create man. That's grace. That's God showing forth favor that's unmerited. But in this third chapter of Genesis, there are many references and indications of grace. In chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, God told man that the day you take of this fruit, you shall die. Did he? Yes, he did. God said it, the day you take of this fruit, you shall die. They took of that fruit and they died immediately. They died spiritually. And in verse 17, 18, and 19, God speaks of the curse and the consequences of their sins. And he says in verse number 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." We find in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam had died. Adam was dead. He was not only dead, but the law demanded that he die. And God speaks of the fact that he was dead, and God speaks of the fact that one day he would die, and he would return unto the dust of the earth. And verse number 21 tells us, God did make them coats of skin, and he clothed them. That speaks of grace to me. When I read about man being dead, when I read about Adam and Eve being dead spiritually, and the pronouncement of eventual physical death falling upon them, I see a sinner dead. A sinner that can do nothing for God, that can do nothing pleasing to God, that can do nothing to be received by God. And I read about here in Genesis chapter 3 that God clothed them. God provided for their salvation. So man was dead and the law demanded their death. I see grace in the fact that God covered their sins. God saved their souls from their sins. I read in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God talking or walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." I see grace here because I see a man, I see men, I see the condition of men in general that they do not seek God. They do not seek God. Adam and Eve did not immediately begin to seek God. Adam and Eve did not immediately begin to get things right with God. They fled from God. They covered their sins. God had to go looking for them. Man does not seek God. In the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10 and 11. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none. Bible means what it says. The Bible says there's no one that seeks after God. So Adam and Eve were not seeking after God. They were not seeking God. They were not looking for God. They were not looking to get things straightened out with God. They were leaving and they were fleeing and they were hiding and they were running from God. And yet God went to where they were. And God saved their souls, provided for a covering, according to verse number 20. That's grace. No man seeks after God. But God went and found Adam and Eve, and he covered their sins and provided for their salvation. We hear a lot about a gospel. We hear a lot about a salvation in the world today that speaks of men and women who are seeking God. The Bible tells us nobody is seeking God. They must be seeking something else. I believe they are seeking something else. Because Adam and Eve were not seeking God, but God went to them. And that's a demonstration of grace. Before the Lord saved you, you were not seeking God. But God came to where you were. And God provided for your salvation. And God saved your soul. We read in chapter 3, verse number 9 of our text. Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I see grace. I see grace. Man was dead, and the law demanded death, and God saved him in spite of what he merited, deserved. God saved him. Man did not seek God, but God went to where he was, saved him. And not only does man not seek God, but I see grace in the fact that God seeks sinners. Amen. God seeks sinners. Aren't you glad he sought you? Amen. Aren't you glad where you were, he came to where you were, sought you, and bought you? That's grace. Adam was dead in his trespasses and sins, not seeking after God, could not seek after God, would not seek after God, in fact, was going away from God as fast as he could. But God came seeking him. God came looking for Adam. God came looking for us. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Grace, God providing for us and for ours that which we could not provide for ourselves. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John 6, verse 44. Jesus speaking here says, no man can come to me except the Father which says, sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come unto God. No man will ever come unto God. Sinners must be drawn to Jesus Christ. God goes looking for the sinner. Jesus goes looking for the sinner and draws the sinner unto himself. We read in chapter 3, verse 15 of our text. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his... It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I see grace in the fact that God promised a deliverer. God promised that the seed of the woman, speaking of Jesus Christ, would one day destroy the works of Satan, that which we looked at Wednesday night. A thread that goes all the way through Scripture is Satan presenting himself and being a thorn in the book of Genesis and being woven all the way through Scripture to Revelation, when Satan is bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. God promised a deliverer. When you look at the blood that was shed in the Old Testament, that blood did not cleanse, that blood did not wash away their sins. The blood of the Old Testament covered their sins. From year unto year, it covered their sins, looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, who would shed his blood and forever wash away sin and cleanse us from our sins. I see grace in the fact that man was dead and the law demanded that he die, and God came to him and saved him. I see grace, though man was not seeking God, God went after man. I see grace in the fact that God seeks sinners. And I hope if you're here this morning and you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know you're lost and you can't deny you're lost, I hope today, this very day, God will seek you. God will come to where you are. That's your only hope. You're deceived, and it's a common problem to think that you're looking for God, you're seeking God. No, you're looking and seeking for something other than God. You don't naturally seek for God or after God or for Jesus Christ. But I see grace in the fact that God seeks sinners and he draws them unto his Son. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto myself. I will draw all men unto me. I believe part of that lifting up that he was speaking about was Calvary. If he be lifted up upon the cross, he would draw the lost unto them, unto himself. I think there's a thought there of preaching, and there's a thought there of the gospel. If we'll preach the gospel, if we'll lift up Jesus Christ, God in his own time is going to draw and save sinners. I see grace in the fact that God promised a deliverer, that blood would cover their sins year unto year and the Day of Atonement until Jesus Christ came and once and for all shed that blood for the salvation of his people. I see grace as I consider in verse number 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. I see God showing grace and the demonstration of God's grace in his covering of their sins, covering of their nakedness. God provided for Adam and Eve, and God provided for us in Christ that which we could not provide for ourselves. It's unmerited favor, undeserved, unearned. We could never merit, we could never earn that covering. But God provided it for us. This covering was not provided for them by their own efforts. They tried to cover their nakedness with those fig leaves and failed. They tried to hide from God behind the trees of the garden and they failed. This covering that verse number 21 speaks about was not provided by man's effort. Salvation is wholly of God. That's grace. Don't miss the emphasis on the word holy. Salvation is wholly, totally, fully of God. What part do you play in it? What part do I play in it? None. By God's grace. By God's grace. Man can do nothing. Man has no part. Man is helpless. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10 tell us, by grace we are saved. By grace we are saved. By God's unmerited favor we are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith is not of ourselves. That faith is a gift of God. Religion says, you do your part, and God will do His. You have no part. We have no part. God has to do it all. Religion says, God helps those who help themselves. They can't help themselves. You couldn't help yourself. You need the help that only God could provide. That's grace. That's grace. These coverings that God provided for them was not provided by their effort. There was nothing they could do to provide for that covering. This covering that we read about in verse number 21 comes by the revelation of God. God reveals this covering to them. God reveals this salvation unto them. He reveals our salvation unto us by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. God gives us His Word and God sends His Spirit. And God was working here on Adam and Eve to the saving of their soul. And as we touched on 2 weeks ago when we were in the latter part of this chapter, these coverings provided for them was provided by the shed blood of an innocent. That's grace. It's through the shed blood of an innocent that their sins were covered. We know that was a picture, that was a type, a preview, if you would, of the innocent one named Jesus who would die upon the cross to save His people from their sins. We see in verse number 21, little thought here that you might not ever have picked up on or ever considered. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Do you read that? Do you see that? God made them coats of skin. And God didn't bring it to them and say, now put this on. God did not bring to them a salvation kit and say, now do these things and you'll be all right. No, this verse tells us God brought and God clothed them. I believe this is speaking directly of the fact that salvation and the righteousness of God, salvation and the righteousness of God is by faith. See, there's this great debate gone on for years and years and years about the difference between accepting Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ, accepting salvation, carries with it the thought of reaching out, grabbing, and taking. We never accept Christ. God did not present it to them and wait for them to reach out and grab it and accept it. God clothed them. God placed it upon them. They received it. It was a gift from God. Salvation and the righteousness of God that is being spoken of in this passage of Scripture that we read in the book of Isaiah chapter 61 concerning the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. You don't accept, you receive. You receive it. God made these coats of skin and God clothed them. These coats were complete before God brought them to man. He didn't hand it to them, but God put it upon them. And God clothed them. Salvation is something that we receive. That's grace. That's grace. I see man dead and dying and God coming to where he was. There are many people here this morning who are dead in their trespasses and sins. You know it. I really believe you know it. I really believe you know if you've ever been saved. I really believe, I can't stress that enough. I really believe if you've never been saved, you know you've never been saved. You never experienced it. So man was dead in his trespasses and sins, and the law demanded that he die. There are many here this morning who are dead in their trespasses and sins. They've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've never been born again. They've never been saved. And you're dead right here now. You're dead spiritually. And sooner or later, the law is going to demand your physical death. And you'll not avoid it. You'll not avoid it. They needed God's grace. And those who I just described are here today in this condition. You need God's grace. It's not something you can do for yourself. You're dead. It's not something you can ever avoid. You're going to die without God's grace. Without God's grace. I see grace in the fact that man was dead and the law demanded death. I see man not seeking God. And the truth of the matter is, if you're here in that condition we've spoken of just a moment ago, you may be seeking religion. You may be seeking satisfaction. You might be seeking some temporal sensation or emotion. But if you're here and you're lost, you're not seeking God. That's why you need his grace. Man doesn't naturally seek God or seek after God. There's none that seeks God. Though they may seek many things, they truly don't seek after God. But God seeks sinners. God sought Adam and Eve, sought where they were. Went after them. And if you're here and you're lost, dead in your trespasses and sins, not seeking after God, incapable of seeking after God, oh, you need this very hour for God to seek you. And how does God seek sinners? He seeks sinners with the preaching of Jesus Christ, with the preaching of the gospel, and the sending of the Spirit. So I can say in some degree, in some sort of a way, God is seeking sinners this morning. Because Jesus Christ is being preached and Jesus Christ is being lifted up and the gospel is being presented. And it is that way that God seeks sinners. Is he seeking you? Is he seeking you? God promised a deliverer, covered them based upon that promise. We're on the other side of the coin now. We're looking back and we have seen that promise fulfilled. We have seen Jesus Christ come, give his life once and for all, that deliverer came. You need a deliverer. If you need a deliverer, I believe you know you need a deliverer. You know you might have religion. You know you might have going to church. You know you might have a parent who's a Christian. You know a lot of things, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But he was promised and he came. And the promise is carried on throughout the ages as we go into the New Testament with the words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God provided a covering that they could not provide for themselves. God provided a covering that they had no part or nothing in presenting or preparing for themselves. God gave a covering. And then by revelation of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God made it known unto Adam and Eve. This covering required the shed blood of an innocent. These innocent animals had to be slain, and sacrifice had to be instituted here in the earliest chapters of the Bible to provide for their covering, their salvation. And this salvation and this righteousness, God clothed them with. They received it by faith. That 21st verse, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. And I've got a little notation in my Bible, a little arrow. And that little word, he. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. They didn't clothe themselves. He clothed them. Grace, even in this earliest portion of God's Word. I want you to think about, in closing, the 5 points of grace that we're familiar with, we're common with. And I wonder, do you see those 5 points of grace in Genesis chapter 3? I believe if you look, God will help you and enable you, you'll see them. Total depravity. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that man is a sinner and man is spiritually dead and man is dying. He's not sick, he's dead. He's not just dead, but he's dead and he's dying. He needs a Savior. And he cannot save himself. Man is a sinner and spiritually dead. Unconditional election. Adam and Eve did not choose Christ. They did not choose God. They did not choose to be covered. They did not choose to be saved. But God chose them. God chose them. The atonement. God provided for their salvation by the shedding of that blood. You see grace? Even here in Genesis 3, you see the irresistible grace that God didn't wait to come, for them to come unto him, because they never would and they could not. But God went to them and God sought them and God bought them and God drew them and God clothed them. God sought them and God placed this salvation upon them. And perseverance. He covered them. He saved them. Then he cast them out of the garden. And put those flaming swords to keep the garden from ever being entered again. And they lived the rest of their life, I believe, as the children of God. And they would eventually bring forth a line of those that would worship God properly through the blood, as we get into chapter 4. And they brought forth a line of people who were called the children of God, as we will eventually find out. Man is a sinner and spiritually dead. God chose to save man, chose to save Adam and Eve. God provided for their salvation. He shed that blood and shed the life and ended the life of those innocents for their sin. For their sin. Whether you call it limited atonement or particular redemption, God provided for their salvation through the shedding of this blood. And what God did for them was irresistible. God sought them and God placed upon them these robes of righteousness.